Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening. This is Reverend Ulysses Morgan here with you again on this beautiful, wonderful day here. It's been a little cold in the last couple of days here in Georgia, but we just thank God for all that he is doing. All things work together for the good to them that love the Lord. So we just appreciate the cold, even though sometimes we get a little cold. But we thank God, and we thank God for you tuning in with us on today. You, amen, those of you who are listening, and glory to God, we've heard from, we thank God for you praying for us, keeping us in your prayers on this radio broadcast. This is Let's Talk Bible on the Kingdom Builders radio station. Kingdom Builders broadcast on this wonderful radio station, and we just thank God for you, amen, and thank God for you tuning in, hearing the Word of God. Amen. We are here today to bring you another dynamic word that God has given me to give to you, and I believe that you're going to be blessed by it. And I pray, oh, hallelujah, that God will show you, open up doors for you, glory to God, and give you revelation and understanding concerning the Word of God. This is my prayer. This is my hope. And this is the reason that we come on this radio broadcast, glory to God, to help somebody to understand Christ more better. We're living in a world where, amen, very seldom now you can trust even preachers, trust even people in the church, glory to God. And so we try our best to be as honest as we possibly can and show you exactly what God is saying so that you can get a revelation and have joy, peace, and love as you go forth in your day. Amen. Glory to God. So let's get ready to get started here. I'm going to give you my mailing address, which is P.O. Box 492, for those of you who have not written in and those of you who are just tuning in. And we hope that those of you that are listening can get on the phone now and have called somebody to help join in and listening to this broadcast. This, when you do that, you are doing the work of an evangelist. You are, amen, being a great witness outside of your house and getting others to come and hear the Word of God. There are times when God may not give you the full revelation that you can go out and teach others, but he can give you a gift of causing people to come to hear the Word of God, that it may be blessed, and you'll be surprised in some areas that you may not think that God will bless his people and they will receive the Word of the Lord, because we don't really know what they've been praying about, but they know and God knows, and so we just thank God for that. Glory to God. So it's P.O. Box 492 here in Cordial, Georgia. The zip code is 3N10. We'd love to hear from you, especially those of you who are our first-time listeners. We'd love to hear from you. Okay, we're going to get into the Word of God right now. Thank God for my lovely wife who's always at my back and on the side, and I know she's listening now. Glory to God. So we pray for her and thank God for her too as well. Right now, let's go into the Word of God, and we are going to go into this subject. And the subject that we're going to be talking about is fear. Amen. Fear. We're going to be talking about fear. Last week, let's go into a word of prayer before we go any further. Father, we thank you right now for this broadcast. Thank you for those in whom have enabled this broadcast to go on. I don't know who they are, God, but you know. And I thank God. Thank you for them. And I believe that you're going to add a blessing to their lives. Those that are listening right now to us, I believe that you're going to add a blessing as the revelation of the Word of God come forth with understanding, with knowledge, wisdom, knowledge, understanding, and wisdom. Amen. But basically, understanding, the Bible declares, and Solomon said, out of all that get an understanding. So we're going to give this word, and I believe that those that are listening are going to understand you more clearly. Let your anointing and the Holy Spirit flow in these airways as we teach tonight. In Jesus' name we pray and we thank you. Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Now, last week we were talking, I think it was last week, we were talking concerning Job, and we were talking about how there was a deal going on and how Job did not know anything about it and how God blessed him blessed him twice as much as he had before. Glory to God. And all because Job stuck with God. He stayed with God. Amen. He touched his kinfolk. He touched his acquaintances. He touched all of them to come. And they brought to Job gold. And they brought to Job money. They brought to Job what he needed. And Job was blessed twice as much because he stuck with God. Today we're going to be talking about fear. And my topic is going to come from Matthew, the 14th chapter, 22nd verse. And we're going to go into talking about Jesus in a very familiar story that you've already heard, I'm sure. But we're going to break it down and give you a great revelation of this. And I believe that you're going to be blessed as you hear this. Amen. Glory to God. Well, let's talk about fear. Let's lay a foundation here. Fear is what the enemy uses to distract his people from what God wants them to do. Fear stops you. Whatever you are fearful of is what controls you. Glory to God. You cannot be fearful of something and it not control you. It will control your emotions. It will control your thoughts. It will control your actions. Amen. It will control your temper. It will control every part of you. Glory to God. You bow down and you submit your power to what you fear the most. You have to understand this principle, whether it is something minor or whether it is something major. Fear controls you. Glory to God. It causes you to attack people. It causes people to attack you. It causes things to happen. And this is the primary demon spirit that the enemy uses through people, glory to God, at times, to control you, to get you to bow down and leave God. Glory to God. God doesn't use fear. And when we hear about fearing God, we're talking about referencing him because of the power that he has. Amen. But God doesn't want you to be scared of him or afraid of him. Satan wants to, he wants to use the tactic of fear to control you. God uses faith. God tells this, believe in me. Amen. And if you believe on me, glory to God, as the scripture says, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. Faith, amen. Believing God to do what he says he's going to do. And God leaves it right there. Satan takes it a step further. He says, I must get them under control, under my control. How do you do that? Amen. Get them to fear me. Cause them, even when you, you know, when you got people. When I was in school, that were what we call bullies. You still have them today. And the bullies, I now understand, didn't have anything. And most of them was halfway scared of me. But when I showed them fear, then it encouraged them to control me. They controlled how I came home from school. They controlled what I said. They controlled, amen, every part of me because they understood that I was afraid of them. And this is the tactic that the enemy uses with most people every day. You are afraid of something, afraid of losing your house, afraid of losing your car, afraid of something happening to your children, afraid of this and afraid of that, and he controls you and controls your emotions through fear. This is why the blessings cannot come to you as you have been told and as you feel within your spirit God is going to do to you. Because every time God gets ready to do something, Satan throws in some type of fear, and when you begin to be afraid of what he has thrown at you, then you submit your will under his power, which now God has to stand back and wait until you realize what has been done to you, glory to God, and then you see others excelling greater than you because they did not allow fear to stop them. The fear tactic is what you have to understand. Now, let's go to the scriptures here, Matthew 14 and 22, and I'm going to read this story, and I'm going to show you exactly what I'm talking about. The Bible says in Matthew 14, 22, and straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into the ship, and to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitude away. He has now fed the multitude, and he has taught them, and he has now been teaching them, and so now his disciples, they have to go to the other side of the lake or the sea, whichever you prefer. And he said to them, amen, he sent them on before him, the Bible says, which indicates to me that Jesus had plans on being there. So the 23rd verse says, and when he had sent the multitude away, he went up into the mountain apart to pray. Prayer is always good. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. Okay? He was there alone. 24 says, but the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. Now, when Jesus makes a promise, he keeps his promise, and there's no obstacle that can stop him from completing the promise that he made. You cannot make Jesus, you cannot make God out of a liar. So if he says he's going to meet you on the other side, or he's going to come there, no matter what mode of transportation that he has, glory to God, or what obstacles are in his way, he's going to keep his word. And the same principle applies to you. Whatever he told you, he will keep his word. You must understand that. Now, Jesus comes down from praying. It's been a while. Now the ship is gone. They left him. Amen. And now it's in the midst of the sea. And when Jesus gets down there, he sees no boat, no mode of transportation to get on the water as he has often done. So his word is out, and he began to walk on the water toward the disciples. Now, the Bible said the wind was already contrary. It was already blowing. But if you notice, Jesus did not worry about how the weather was. He did not worry about the wind blowing. He did not worry about the waves. He did not worry. Amen. Because that did not any strain on his powers. Glory to God. Now, the disciples were very, they were very professional fishermen. And they knew if they saw a storm when they got in the boat, not to get in the boat, but the weather was clear until they got into the midst of the sea. Sometimes, amen, God will allow you to get in the middle of where you can't turn back, and the enemy will sit right there till you get to that point and then decide to cause things to happen in your life. Glory to God. And they were in the midst. And here, now, here comes Jesus walking on the water. Now, let's read a little further. The Bible says in the 25th verse, he says, and in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. They cried out for fear. See, if you're reading your Bible with me, you need to underline that, highlight it, whatever you want to do with it. But it says when they saw Jesus coming on the water in the midst of this windstorm, the Bible said they began to be afraid, glory to God, because they had now encountered something that they had never seen before. They are now witnessing a man walking on water. This is something they have never seen. And when you have been encountered with something that you have never experienced before, you don't know how it's going to work out, you don't know how it's going to pan out, then it causes a door, amen, and you can open that door, and if you open it, fear comes in because this is something you've never seen happen before. And this is what these disciples are experiencing at this point. And the 27th verse says, But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, for it is I. Be not afraid. Don't worry. Don't panic. I've identified myself. I have shown you who I am. I have not ceased the wind, nor the rain, nor the storm. Glory to God. I'm letting you know it is me, and I am also telling you, amen, and giving you a command that you be not afraid. Glory to God. This was not a request, glory to God, in a sense. It was a command. Be not afraid. Don't worry. Don't cry out for fear. It's me. 28, and Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. Okay? And he said, come. And And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Glory to God. Now, Peter is now looking, and he was always outspoken. And Peter sees him, and he hears the word of Jesus saying, "Amen, it is I, be not afraid." And so Peter says, "Ah, if it's you, God, let me do this thing. Let me come to you on the water. Let me try this." And Jesus says, "Come on. Come on, because these and greater works shall you do. What I do, you can do. Amen. I have bid you to come. Come on." Jesus, now can you imagine Peter stepping his feet out of the water, out of the boat, and touching the water and not sinking? All because, amen, now the fear has left him because he's focused his mind on something else other than the situation. Did y'all get what I just said? Glory to God. He's now focused his mind on something other than the situation. He has focused his mind on Jesus, which now indicates to me that his fear of the weather, glory to God, or this man walking on the water has subsided. And Jesus says to him, "Come," and now he is walking on the water. Now look what happened in the 30th verse. The Bible says, "But when he saw the wind boisterous, amen, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me." Glory to God. The Bible says, now Peter is walking on the water. His mind is not on his situation anymore. His mind is focused on Jesus as well as his sight. Amen. Is focused on Jesus. And he is walking and he is amazed at how he's walking on the water on the words of Jesus coming to him. And the Bible declares, amen, that the wind, as the closer he got to Jesus, the more the wind stirred up. The closer you get to your miracle, the more the enemy is going to try to throw you off course. He's going to try to get your mind off of what you need to be focused on. Amen. The closer you get to your miracle, the closer you get to your blessing, the closer you get to Jesus, he's going to do whatever he can to cause fear to come into you, because whatever you are fearful of is whom you become subject to. Glory to God. And so now he stirred up the wind, and it began to be even boisterous, glory to God, blowing even harder. And the Bible says, glory to God, when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. He was afraid. He wasn't afraid while he was walking. He wasn't afraid while he was coming to Jesus. But the situation turned terrible. The situation got worse. Glory to God. What situation are you in that's turning worse that the enemy is using to cause you to get your mind off of your testimony, off of your testimony, off of your witnessing, off of your joy, off of your praise, off of all of that that you said God is? What is he using to get your mind off of that, to make you turn back on the words that you testified to others about God? My goodness, Michael. He's trying it on some of you right now that's listening to me. Amen. He tried it on you. He's trying it right now. He's trying to get you afraid because he knows what God is getting ready to do in your life. He knows what's about to happen. He knows what God has got you on course of doing. You're already on course. You're already on your way. You're already walking on the water. You're already coming to him. And the Bible declares, if you would understand, when Peter was walking on the water, the wind has not ceased yet. Still blowing. But it couldn't control him, because now fear has gone from Peter concerning his situation. So it couldn't control him. That's why he was able to walk on the water. Amen. You will be able to do many things in Christ Jesus if we don't let fear control us. Glory to God in the highest. Lord have mercy. Amen. Amen. Look what happened now. The 31st. But when he saw the wind boisterous, we see this, okay? He was afraid and began to sink. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. His fear caused him to sink. His fear caused him to lose out on the miracle that was already being performed with him, because he took his eyes off of the faith of God and put it on the fear of his situation or his surrounding. And his fear of his surroundings caused him to lose out on the blessing and the miracle that was being performed by him at that moment. Can you see what I'm talking about? Now, many of you may be listening to me. There are many times I've preached in churches and people hear you and then they don't hear you. They hear you until they get outside of the church. But there are those of you who are hearing this, and it's going to be with you because God sent this word to you. See? But he cannot be responsible if you don't use the word. He cannot be responsible if you don't focus on it and apply it to your life. God, why haven't you blessed me? God, it's not that he's holding it from you. Amen. He's waiting for your spirit to get in position and not let the enemy control you. God can't give you a blessing and somebody else controls it. You have to understand that. 31st verse says, and immediately, Jesus stretched forth his hands and caught him and said unto him, O thou little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? Now, Peter walked on the water from the boat while the wind was still blowing, and he got close enough to Jesus to where Jesus can stretch his hand out to catch him. All that walking, but when he got close to his Savior, when he got close to the miracle worker, when he got close to his destination, did y'all hear what I'm saying? His destination was to come from the boat to Jesus. When he got off the boat, the wind was the same. When he was walking, the wind was the same. But when he got close to his destination, glory to God, Satan revved up in the wind and the weather, and Peter now, taking his eyes or his focus off of Jesus, putting it on the situation, which caused him to fear. And whatever you become fearful of is what controls you. Glory to God. He was fearful of the weather and the wind, and it caused him to sink because the author of fear wanted to destroy him, wanted to deter him from Jesus. This is why you go through certain things, glory to God, and God is leading you. And when the enemy see you getting closer to your destination, closer to your blessing, closer to your miracle, glory to God, closer. Look like the situation gets worse and worse. Amen. But don't take your eyes off of Jesus and don't allow fear to control you. The Bible said he got close enough. He said, Lord, save me. Jesus stretched his hands down, caught him. Look what it says here. He said, oh, you little faith, why did you doubt? 32 verse says, and when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. When they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Now, there was something going on between that I just read and Peter sinking. When Peter was sinking, he cried out and said, Lord, save me. The Bible says Jesus reached down to grab him. Okay? And you hear from them that they went back to the ship, the wind ceased. But when he grabbed Peter, I don't know exactly how far Peter was in the water, but I do know that he was, above water, high enough to reach his hand out for Jesus to catch him. Somehow, his fear left his situation, focused back on Jesus, and Jesus lifted him up back on top of the water. Did y'all hear what I'm saying? He did not go in the water to get him. He lifted him back up on top of the water, because when you are focused on Christ and your hand is in his hand, no matter what you're walking on, what you're going through, you cannot sink. You cannot drown. And they walked back to the ship, both of them, on the water, with the wind still blowing, because Satan is still trying to get Peter to fear. He knew Jesus wasn't going to fear. He's trying to get Peter to fear. Before he gets back to now his different destination. Before Peter gets, here's how it goes, and I'm paraphrasing of how I feel Satan thinks. He's telling his demons, before Peter gets back to the boat, we've got to try our best to get him to sink in. And the wind kept blowing. And the Bible says, watch this now, and this was amazing to me. It says in the 32nd verse, and when they were come into the ship, what happened? The wind ceased. So now this gives me to understand that all of that wind and the weather and the blowing and all that kind of stuff wasn't just because of some barometric pressure in the atmosphere. It was to deter the disciples, especially Peter, from Jesus, from their destination, from their miracle, from their blessing. Because as soon, the Bible says, as they step foot back in the ship, Satan says, there's no need to try them anymore. There's no need to try Peter anymore. He has made it back to where he was. He has made it back to his new destination. So Satan doesn't waste time. He doesn't waste time with something he knows he cannot conquer. I'm going to say this again. He doesn't waste time, and I'm going to say it this way, with people he knows he cannot conquer. He will try you, but when he realizes that you are wrapped up in Jesus and he cannot put fear in you, glory to God, he moves on to somebody else that he can put fear in, that can make, he can make them afraid of him, because if he can get them to be afraid of him, he can control their thoughts, their minds, their spirit. He can control their flesh. He can control them. He doesn't waste time with people he can't. God bless you. Oh, hallelujah. Some of you out there right now, leave fear alone. Let God do it for you. He's going to do it. Amen. Don't let fear control you. Don't let the enemy control you with fear. Believe God. I don't care what the situation looks like. God is going to fix it. Glory to God. Our time is gone. Next Monday, 6:30. The same time, same place, same station. To give you another word, amen, on the same subject, if the Lord's will and says the same, write me, P.O. Box 492. I want to hear from you. Cordial, Georgia, 31010. Until next week, God bless you and keep you is my prayer.